Okay. This is going on the Pasuk Ora Isi. He's explaining the significance of doubling over the Lashon Sefarim, explaining what does Ra'ora Isi mean? Whenever the Pasuk, and this is, I guess, generally, whenever the Pasuk says a word twice. V'tamar Ra'ora Isi, Omnom Ra'ora Isi. So it means, yes, I saw. V'zeh tam ha'mokar b'chol mokar m'shusam l'cheifol k'mo olo na'le yochol nuchal ke'inyo k'tam omnam la'hor she'emes kein hu. He says the usage of doubling over the verb is very similar to using the word indeed in English and the word omnam in Hebrew, which means it is so. Despite the fact that you may have doubts or you act the contrary, it is so. V'kin yadati b'ni yadati. Kloma, afal pish reisus oni amesh amitzayim. K'ma shahoyra yoyis al teich hasner. V'afal pish al tzareim oshav yalik mashar esh besner. Mikol mokom lo yusufa mitzrim atzorem oysom b'chol makash eslach behem. K'moy shahoyra inyan vasenen ukol. So he says, what he's saying is, I will not destroy the Mitzrim with the first Makis, but rather I want to force them to release Klal Yisrael. So the point of the Ra'ora Isi means I know that this is what's going on, and despite that, I'm going to do it the way I want to do it, which is to bring Makis on them constantly and then take out Klal Yisrael. The next piece of Ikrim, which is going to explain a sort of inverse relationship between Ruchnius and Gashmius in terms of success. So he says, V'lezeh hoyu ha-nevi'im v'chassidim kol yov rebchinim b'dayis osam mivazet av zolom hazeh li'yoysa mishtanim yadov ha-kayim. They would make light of any benefits in this world because they're only temporary and they're not something that is a metzius. They only cared for the good of the nefesh. And they were willing to suffer the pains of this world just to get that pleasure. Because they know that pleasure comes usually after suffering. Now, let's talk about this a little bit first outside. Basically, what he's saying is that the reason why many big people, such as you find about Eliyahu, who said he's sick and tired of everything in this world, and Chanina ben Dais, who says he ate nothing, is that they make light of things in this world because they want the good in the world to come. Now, He says it in one way. Let's discuss it first in a different way. You know, the principle is true, except the explanation comes from different perspectives. Let's give one perspective first, a much simpler perspective. This is a perspective the Chazon Ish writes about learning to live life. He quotes the Gemara that Torah is only miskayim b'mishamei misatzmoleh. Somebody kills himself on it. So the Chazon Ish says, it's the person who kills the shallowness of life is merits the depths of life, the oimek ha'chaim. In other words, as long as a person is content, let's give an example. A young girl walks into a store that has tons and tons and tons of very cute jewelry. All of it, of the nickel and dime stuff, like $1.99. And let's say the child's perception is that these are really cool and nice. So the child is not going to have any aspirations to work hard to get $1,000 to buy a real piece of jewelry. Because in the world that she is, these are great jewels, and they're cute, and they're cool, and they're funny, and whatever else teenagers describe with, I lost track of the various descriptions, and that's the world. So there's no incentive some of them come and tell them, well, how do you make money? It's a little babysitting occasion, and I can have all the joy you want. Someone says, well, you can go and work from 9 to 5 in a crazy office, and then you'll have a few $1,000, and you'll be able to buy real jewels. I said, what are your real jewels? This is jewels to me. So you need to be able to peel off the outer layer and find it worthless for you to get to the inner layer. Same thing is true, let's say, with reading. A person who gets a cheap pleasure out of silly, cheap writing, whatever, is not going to break his head on something deeper and never going to develop the depth of understanding things that are much deeper. So he says, one way of explaining this phenomenon would be, so long as what's important to you are pleasures of this world, then there's not going to be much more. A person who gets involved, his whole metzias is in cooking. Like, he needs to figure out, like, which wines they serve and they go together with this and that and whatever it is. That person is not going much further than that because that's his world. It's only when the person rises above that world that he can actually be something, he can become something, he can latch onto life that's more important. He talks about another Nakuda here. He says, we find that pain or difficulty and pleasure tend to be wrapped with each other together. He says, opposite things tend to go in pairs. So if I remove the heat in an object, I get cold. If I remove the white in the object, I get black, or remove the black, I get the white, whichever one you want. In other words, opposites are sort of linked in a way that if I remove A, then I will end up with B. That seems to be an appropriate opposite. Things that are not opposite, they're different. Red, it doesn't become green. Green doesn't become red. Black and white is, if I remove the light in this room, it'll be pitch black. If I inject the light, it will be light. So things that are opposite tend each one to replace the other. And therefore, Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba, or Ruchnistic world and physical world, replace each other. Things that are opposite, we tend to find one when the other one is gone. They're bound together. You're happy after you've been down for a while, or we don't need to actually be depressed to become happy, but happiness really becomes sharpened when we haven't been happy for a while. And you tend to attain stature and growth after a period of having been down.
When Kasa was Mitzrayim at the lowest,
Kadosh then gave them the covered of becoming Kaiser with all the extraordinary glory of the Dor HaMidbar. A chick doesn't come into its own until the egg hasn't finished. You find the seed growing only after the original seed has disintegrated, then you find the new seed coming in.
It's
very, very hard not to compare this to what happened to us from 1940 to 1945. We were in the lowest possible situation, the worst possible situation, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then today, or a few years afterwards, Eretz Yisrael had become Jewish, Torah rebounded in America, Eretz Yisrael, and in many ways, Kaisel today is in a situation that's extremely, extremely good, and one can only contrast it with that and say, it is true that the Havaya comes after the Hefsit. So what happens? HaKadosh Baruch Hu disintegrates one water and brings out another one. It sort of is, in many cases like that, the Maral speaks about Geula and all these Chazal about the terrible things that happen. He says, in order for, like the chicken and the egg, in order for things to move forward, the old order needs to disintegrate. If inside the egg were to be forever good and pleasant, if the chick wouldn't outgrow it or whatever it is, then it wouldn't, it would never grow out of it. It's only because the old order becomes destroyed or disintegrates that you have the new order. I want to bring it home to something quite close to us. You know, we all complain, all meaning those of us who have teenagers or had teenagers, about the difficulty of teenage years and how did HaKadosh Baruch Hu create such a bria as a teenager? What's the point of it? Well, the natural setting of a child growing up is in a home. A home is a nice home, it's a warm home, it's a loving home. And the ability to get out of the home and become independent is severely hampered. But what happens is there's a time in life. The main thing is he just doesn't like home anymore. He just doesn't think his parents understand. It's not a home, so on and so forth. That propels him out. And doesn't destroy the parents, but it destroys. He doesn't have a place there anymore. There's a very, very sharp story with the Balatanya. Balatanya got married to the daughter of a wealthy man who didn't know that his future son-in-law was a chassid. And he had promised to hold him out. He knew him as a big time chacham, promised to hold him out. And then he found out that they became a chassid, and he cut him off totally. He didn't want anything to do with him, and so on. And it was a very difficult tkufa. After a time, I think of years, he found out that even though his son became a chassid, he's still a very, very talented chacham, and he's very chashev, and he's great, this and that. So he called him back, and he said, listen, I regret what I did, because now I heard that you're genuine, and you're a big talented chacham, and you're learning, a big tzaddik, so please come back, and we'll support you in every way possible, and so on and so forth. So Baltanya sent back to him, and he said, when the fetus has to be born, it's an extraordinarily traumatic event. It's pushed out by these extraordinary kohos, and because it doesn't want to. But once out, it's never in again. A child can't go back in again. So yes, you pushed me out, and it was very traumatic. But once I'm out, there's no going back in again. So all the going out and so on are all they're all there in order to bring about some sort of tov and so on, some sort of positive growth. Okay, let me add maybe one more piece, I guess. There's an extraordinary medrash. This medrash has many aspects to it. Medrash says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu hayabayna olamos umachrivan. HaKadosh Baruch Hu built worlds and destroyed them. Until, I said, the Chazal say it's 800 something worlds, until he came to this world, and he said, Dein lo yahanili, I don't like this world, I don't like this world, until he came to our world, and that's when he said, Dein ahanili, this is what I like. It's very, very, it's a fascinating Chazal. Some people explain that this is why we find the fossils and the dinosaurs and stuff like that. They're all remnants of those errors that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not want. The first Israel said so, that he's, it's funny how we look at dinosaurs as being a problem with Emunah. The Pharisee Saul says, this is proves it, because this is what Chazal told us. There were many worlds before us. They were not worlds that Chazal was happy with, and therefore destroyed them, and so on. But the real question is, what's the point of it? Chazal Shalom HaKadosh Baruch Hu couldn't get it right the first time. But like, what's the point of having... It's obvious that it's not the Peshat that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't get it right the first time. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted this to be the way to create it. So the answer is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted a world that builds itself up because of its destruction. In other words, the whole idea of tshuva, it looks to us very, very strange. Every system has like an emergency exit. and some sort of help for some unforeseen issue. But imagine a guy shows up to emergency room every night of the week for years. So you really, really, that's not the way it's supposed to be. Emergency room is for an emergency. You know, we have tshuva, and tshuva is kind of, okay, if you're not going to do right, you can do a sin, so that's tshuva. So one would expect it to be in the same range as delinquents in society. So one in 1,000, one in 10,000, whatever it is. But here, you have every day, three times a day, each and one of us says, and so on. So are we really to feel, you know, what kind of world is it that everybody's expected to sin three times a day? I mean, it doesn't say in my Siddur, in case he did an Avera, he should say, There's an old joke that German Jews were very confident in themselves. Yeah, because they're very confident and they knew what they're doing and they're right and this and that. It's a stereotype of a German Jew. So it says that in the German Masorim, it says before Shamno on Yom Kippur, it is the custom to do a slight sin beforehand so that the Shamno not be levatola. It's strange to us that we're expected, no one here says that, if I do good, maybe like a Jerusalem, I'm going to skip Hashiveinu, Zahra Avinu. Nobody thinks like that. We're always sinners, we're always doing tshuva. What's the pshat in that? The answer is, this world is the world that was built on Churban. In other words, the natural progression is failing somewhat, if not more than somewhat, in some sort of job, and learning from it, and take it to heart, and moving forward. We move forward by learning from it. It's fascinating. If you ask yourself when you walk, how does a person walk? How does a person walk forward? The answer is, your feet are pushing against the sidewalk. And it's the push against the side that propels you with an equal force forward. That's how it works. On slippery ice, when there's no friction, we don't go anyplace. You can walk and walk. I mean, you might slip, but you're not going anyplace. You can't get any traction. So the traction is really the friction between you and the sidewalk. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us... this world is a world that its mechanism of progression is by pushing against some mikshol. The Gemara says, "Ein adam ayimid advar halacha amki mikshol ba." That a person can't really understand fundamentally a halacha unless he tripped on it. Okay, let's see the next piece. So now starts a huge amount of explanations about the name HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is the first time in the Torah. It's not the first time, but it's a time where there's a lot of discussion about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. Moshe Rabbeinu asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what's his name? HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, it goes back and forth on it. So this is really a place where the vast majority of Rishonim find it the appropriate place to speak Hashem's names. We'll just do the Rabbeinu B'chayes HaKadamah today. And then we have here from an extreme variety of Medrashot, Aminchim, or Nevuchim, Ramban, Sfarno, Rabbi Nebuchadnezzar, and so on, Abarbanel. So let's take a look just at this first piece. The Alderach HaMedrash, V'omuli Mashmoi, Bikesh Leida Shema Godel, Omnach Hashbroch Shmirta Maksh Leida, Lefi Masani Nikra, Shedona Sabriza Nikra Likim, Shaisa Bereshoi Muhammad Nikra Tzfokos, So the point that Chacham are trying to make over here is you can't have many gods. And anything that's considered one is internally one. You can't have many. Rabbim. So, Lemaisa, Akash Baruch has many names, so there must be many different aspects or whatever it is.
So the seichel knows that we're talking about one unit, but the mouth can't do it otherwise. Let's explain this point, because this point is a very is really explaining. It's an inyan of the koyach hadibur of Adam. Adam's koach is dibur, which means the ability to take machshava, which is abstract, and phrase it with words, and words are really more concrete. So at the level of the thought, person can have very wide ideas, even those ideas that are almost impossible to articulate because articulation is too concrete. So a person finds out many of his deeper feelings. He finds himself tongue-tied, he can't really bring it out. So he says over here, the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So when we think of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in our thought of thoughts, in our mind of minds, then we know, yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists as one all-encompassing. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu reaches into the Bria, it divides up. And therefore the names are different names. Well, Kedras is a Rab Mishra Mishtanim, if you have Pula Shemakabu, Lomitzad Yisbarach. So therefore the names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu can be many. The name is, let's bring it back to our Mashal. When you have a person, the person is one. And the person, every person to describe the person is really beyond description. He is what he is. But there are different ways I can deal with different parts of him. This guy, the tall guy, the nice guy, the busy guy, the rude guy. So all of these things are, the mouth is attempting to bring it into this world somewhat. When I think of Reuven or Shimon, I have like a picture, and that's it. I don't think the words. When I tell it to somebody, I need to start articulating, and each word, each phrase can only deal with one aspect of him. What's Ellie like? Ellie is shy with strangers, thinks deeply about this, and has a natural reluctance for that. Those are all pratim. But when I talk, I come onto pratim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu also, he says, Aser yodekul nevrechad. We understand it all as being one vori. But the mouth, when it talks about, can't talk about HaKadosh Baruch Hu in one way. There's no one name that will include everything. So the names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu are many based on the people to whom he interacted with. But his essence never changes. Okay.